Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good to see you. We're going to turn to the New Testament for the reading. Reading a few verses from John's Gospel and the chapter 12. John's Gospel, chapter 12. And we're reading a few verses beginning at verse 32. One of the great statements by the Lord Jesus. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die, or indicating what death he should die. The people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of the light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and hid himself from them. For though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. That the saying of Isaiah, or Isaiah, the prophet, might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Amen. Now let's turn to that quotation in Isaiah. It's there in chapter 53, the chapter we have been looking at. Isaiah chapter 53. And we're going to read three verses at the beginning of that chapter, reminding ourselves of what it is we're studying. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Now you know why we sang that hymn, Man of Sorrows. What a name. That's how Isaiah describes him here. I want to look at the first three verses today, if I can. It may spill over to our next assembly meeting, but let's make a start anyway. We're looking at the pictures of the Lord Jesus in the Bible, and this is the latest one. I don't know if you've ever gone to a museum or a picture gallery, but if you have, you know what it's like. The wall is filled with pictures of all sorts, and you can move from picture to picture and take in what the artists have so skillfully. And I must say, whenever I see a beautiful picture, I wish I could paint. I do. And the artists have set forth in vivid colours, wonderful scenes. Well, God has set forth, and wonderfully set forth, in the Bible, pictures of the Lord Jesus. And when we read the Bible, that's what we should be looking for, pictures of the Saviour. Here is Isaiah's picture. Here is Isaiah's picture. Let me state, first of all, that it is in the Bible that we find the Saviour set forth. You'll not find him anywhere else. There's an old saying that in the garden, you're nearest to God. Now, that's not true. There is an element of truth there. For those who know the Lord, when they're in the garden, surrounded by shrubs and flowers and birds, usually too, they will be reminded of God. They will be reminded of God. But that's only something that someone who knows the Lord will see and discern. If you want to be near God, if you want to see God set forth, you've got to turn to the Bible. And here we read in this portion that the Word of God is given a special title. Do you see it there in the opening verse of chapter 53? Who hath believed our report? That's God's report that you're holding in your hand. That's God's report on his Son. I heard it mentioned in the announcements this morning that there are exams today, school exams. And the result of those exams will be written down in a report, and the report will be sent to your parents. And as they read the report, they'll see how you're getting on at school. Oh, how I hated bringing home my report, and I always hoped that my mother would not ask for it. I certainly didn't come home waving it and say, "Here's my report, Mother, have a read." No, it wasn't until I was asked for it and I couldn't avoid showing it that I surrendered it. In the report, a picture of you is presented. How you're doing at school, are you paying attention, are you learning anything? Well, that book is God's report on his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember what God the Father said when the Saviour was baptized and thus began his public ministry? "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." That was the Father's report on his Son's behaviour. He was well pleased. So that's a good title for us to observe of the Word of God. It helps us understand just what the Word of God is all about. It should help you to understand it when you read it. God's reporting to me about his Son. That's the content of the Bible. Now, it's written in wonderful language. It's written in the form of history. It's written in the form of prophecy. It's written in the form of poetry. But it's all about the Lord Jesus. It's all about the Lord Jesus. How good that is for us to know and for us to bear in mind. It centers upon the Lord Jesus. Now, not only is there a nice title given to the Bible, God's report, but there's a nice title given to the Lord Jesus. Do you see it? Do you see it? Look there in the verse 1. "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? There's the title of Christ, the arm of the Lord. Now, why should the Lord Jesus have such a title as that? He is the arm of the Lord. I want you to turn over quickly a page or two. Stop. You don't need to turn over. Because you see, I was seeking to show you why the Lord Jesus is called the arm of the Lord. When I said to you, "Turn over," what happened? Immediately your arm began to move. And your hand, at the end of it, was reaching out for the pages. Isn't that right? You didn't even notice yourself doing it. It's so automatic. But every minute of the day, your arm is carrying out your will. You have a wee itch on your ear, your arm takes care of it. You don't notice your mind saying to your arm, "Scratch my ear." But that's what's happening. Your arm, usually your right arm, though some of you may be left-handed, but usually it's the right arm, is carrying out your will. Why is Jesus called the arm of the Lord? Because he came into this world to carry out his Father's will, to accomplish what it was his Father desired to do amongst men. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the message of the gospel, is called in Romans chapter 1 and the verse 16, the power of God unto salvation. And just as your arm is your power, that's how you do things, that's how you exert your strength. If you want to lift something, you do so with your arm. You put forth your strength in that fashion. And God put forth his power to save sinners through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the arm of God. He's the arm of God. And it's good for us to bear that in mind. That helps you to understand what it is the gospel's all about. It is the power of God unto salvation. Now I want you to notice in the verse 1 something else. God's report about his Son is not believed. It's not believed. Who hath believed our report? This is a lament by the prophet Isaiah. Who believes what we are saying about God's Messiah, about God's Christ, about God's Saviour? Who believes it? Now, I read with you at the beginning of our little study here this morning from John chapter 12. And I deliberately chose that portion because there we are told in verse 37, "But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah, the prophet, might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed?" That has been the universal reaction of man to the Bible. Unbelief. It's just not believed, this blessed book of God, and what God says about his Son. Even though it has been accompanied by many, many wonderful proofs, it's not believed. It is rejected. I want you boys and girls to bear this in mind. The Bible's rejected. I want you to bear it in mind because, listen to me, are there not some here who don't believe this Bible? Oh, you say, "I believe the Bible." We sing a little chorus, I believe the Bible. Yeah, but do you? Do you believe the Bible? If you saw a notice in large red letters, "Do not touch, dangerous," you wouldn't put out your hand and touch it. You'd know there was danger there for you. You'd believe what is written. But what's written in this book? This book says that you need to repent and believe the gospel or you'll be lost forever. You'll be lost forever. Do you believe that? No, you don't. Because you have not yet come to Christ. He has said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Do you believe him? No, you don't. Because you haven't yet come. You haven't yet come. Doesn't matter what you say with your lips. It's your feet that tell the truth. And your feet have not yet brought you to Christ. Oh, boys and girls, take note of this. Throughout the world, there's a rejecting of the Word of God. One other thing I want you to notice, at least I think there's only time for one other thing this morning, and that is this. What a contrast, what a difference there is set forth here between how God sees his Son and how men, sinful men, see his Son. Let's read the verse 2. "For he," that's the Saviour, "shall grow up before him," that's the Father, "as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." How God sees his Son is very different from how men see his Son. I quoted to you the words of the Father when the Savior was baptized. He said, "This is my beloved Son." God the Father gave expression to how he saw his Son. "He is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." If I might put it like this, there was a smile on God's face as he spoke those words. When we meet someone that we like, our face immediately breaks into a smile. That's how you know what a person thinks about you when you meet them. Well, you know, they're not too happy to see me if their face is like the one I have just made. But if, on the other hand, they come and they're smiling, well, you know that, at least to some degree, they're pleased to see me. I tell you, there was a smile on the Father's face, if I might put it like this, when he spoke of his Son with these words, "My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." But that's not how man sees the Lord Jesus. He was as a tender plant to the Father. Do you know what that word tender means? It's a very interesting word. Now, I know what tender means in our English language, but the word that's translated out of the Hebrew here, perhaps we wouldn't imagine that this is the meaning of the word tender. It actually refers to a little sapling, a little tree that's beginning to grow. And I don't know if you are aware of this, but if you have a fruit tree, like an apple tree or any of the fruit trees, oftentimes a gardener has to go round the roots of the tree, round the base of the tree, and break off the little saplings that spring up. They're springing up from the roots of the tree. They're going to produce another tree. But of course the gardener doesn't want that to happen, because that means it will take away energy, food, from the main tree. So he nips off that little sapling so that it doesn't grow and take away from the main tree. Well, that's the picture that this word tender is speaking of. Just a young, fresh, tender shoot. That's how God saw his son. Of course, the world didn't see him like that, or didn't even notice the Savior amongst them. Just as you may walk around the garden and not see little saplings growing. I'm forever, when I'm in my garden, I'm forever plucking up wee things. There's an ash tree over there, and you know, in the autumn time, the wee whizzers that break free from the ash tree. And they float about in the wind everywhere, and most of them seem to come to my garden. So that virtually every day I'm out, when I look among the other shrubs, there is a little ash tree growing up, and I have to pluck it up, because if it did grow up, it would become a problem. So I pluck it up. I'm sure if you wandered round my garden, you wouldn't notice that. And that's how the little ash tree actually begins to progress, because nobody notices its presence. And when the Lord Jesus was in the world, nobody noted him. It says he came unto his own, but his own received him not. They knew him not. They didn't recognize him for who he was. When the Savior preached, in the very early days of his preaching, you can read about it in Luke chapter 4 and the verse 22, we read, "And all bear him witness, and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, Is this not Joseph's son?" You see, they didn't see anything special about him. The father saw him as a tender plant, a root out of a dry ground, something special, unusual, growing in a barren world. But men didn't see anything special about him. "Is not this Joseph's son?" They were almost saying, "Who does he think he is, speaking like this? We acknowledge he has special gifts, he can really speak, but he's only Joseph's son." They didn't recognize who Jesus was, because men do not see the Lord Jesus for who he is. They do not see him as the Father sees him. We'll take this matter a little further the next time I'm with you. But let me just ask in closing, how do you see the Lord Jesus today? How do you see him? I'll just quote verse 3. "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not." Is that how you see him? Let me tell you in closing. In 1964, and also in 63, I lost my driving license. Not only coming up on 20, but I lost my driving license. Court took it away from me because of my behaviour. And I used to have to travel on a bus to and from work in Belfast. And that bus, in the evening times, used to cross the Albert Bridge Road. And up on a church at the Albert Bridge, there was a big sign: "Jesus saith you must be born again." And I used to hide my eyes, quite literally. I used to get a newspaper, the evening edition of the Belfast Telegraph. Wasn't really interested in it, but I got it up so that I could hide my eyes from that sign, because it spoke of Jesus. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. Go out onto the street with a tract, and there'll be all too many will, no thank you. If they're as polite as that, you're very fortunate. They don't want to read it. They don't want to think about the Lord Jesus. What do you think about him today? What do you think about him today? Do you have the same opinion of the Lord Jesus as your mother or your father, as your teacher? Do you? Oh, boys and girls, see him as God's Savior, the one you need to take you to heaven. Let's just bow in prayer. Oh God, bless the boys and girls today. Open their eyes that they might see the Lord Jesus. And seeing him, they might love him and trust him and believe in him and walk with him. Bless our school today. Undertake for it. Remember the special time of prayer at which there will be adults gathering in the church to pray that God might intervene in the affairs of our nation as election day draws near. God help this poor country that has turned its back on thee. And we ask that for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.